Welcome to High Strangeness, where we ask questions and explore all that is strange and unexpected in our reality.
Welcome to High Strangeness. This is a place where we look at all things strange and unexpected in our reality. I am your host, Tony, and today we're going to talk about a condition that can be strange and is often unexpected. And for our discussion today, I'm excited to have our guest who is actively involved in helping improve the lives of people, of a group of people that really could use the help. Today, I'm excited to have Kristen Currington, who is the development manager for the Southwest and Rocky Mountain chapter of the Parkinson's Foundation. How are you doing, Kristen?
Hi, Tony. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me today.
Thank you for being with us. How's things going for you? How's been your winter so far?
I actually live in Colorado, so it's four seasons in one day every day, it feels like. And I know you guys get a lot of that in Utah as well.
Exactly. Are you ready for the warm weather, or are you a skier? Do you like to keep the snow around a little longer? Or?
Yeah, I am a skier. That's why I live here in Colorado. Love skiing in Utah as well. But I'm always ready for summer. April comes around, and we've had five false springs already.
Yes.
I've been teased enough, so I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Well, awesome. I know I'm ready for it. Yeah. But we didn't have a lot of snow this year either. So anyway, well, everybody on board with us today, my hope today, and I'm going to be excited to hear more about it, is just to learn about the Parkinson's disease a little bit and just kind of your perspective from the front lines where you tackle this and fight this with your organization. I think it's going to be important for people to see, you know, what things are going on. I'm aware of Parkinson's, but, you know, other than just being aware of it and maybe having met a few people, like, I don't know all the other things that are going on around it, people that are working to help these individuals. And I know as part of the foundation, that's a lot of what you guys do. So I'm pretty excited to hear here.
Yeah, great. I think as with any disease, there's myths out there, there's stereotypes. So I'm excited today to have the opportunity to tell you a little bit more some of the facts and what the foundation is doing to help.
Perfect. So as we start here, I'm going to go and start in a little bit of a weird direction here, where I'd like to hear a little bit about you. Just find out a little bit about you and what got you working to this space. I think, people out there will be interested in see, hey, who works in this area? How did they get there? You know, how did life take you to this place? So what can you tell us?
Sure. So I started with the Parkinson's Foundation in November of 2022. So I've been here about a year and a half. Prior to that, I have about 15 years of nonprofit experience. I've been an executive director of a nonprofit. I've had experience in fundraising, event planning, mission and outreach of all sorts. I have a master's degree in nonprofit management. So about a year and a half ago, when I was looking for a little bit of a career change, but not really to move out of the nonprofit sector, did a lot of research on nonprofits that were really mission focused, where a large percentage of their revenue was going toward their mission programs, and just organizations that seemed like they were making an impact in a community that really needed the help. And the Parkinson's Foundation was at the top of the list when I was doing that research. And fate just had it that they were looking for someone with my skills. And it's really been an amazing organization to work with. We have an incredible leadership team, and all of the staff are really amazing and really, really dedicated to achieving our mission. So,
yeah. I think the organization is, when you work for an organization like that, you're making a difference. So that's so cool. Let's start off with having you tell us a little bit about the disease. People are aware of parts of it, but tell us what you can.
Yeah, so Parkinson's is a neurodegenerative disease, and it slowly progresses over time. So it's a disease that starts in the brain, and basically people stop producing the dopamine that they need to function how you would expect. So it's progressive, meaning it is going to get worse over time, and there is no cure at this point for Parkinson's disease. It's not considered to be a fatal disease, so the diagnosis doesn't come with a ton of doom and gloom. Most people with Parkinson's are able to live a really, really high standard of continuing throughout their daily lives. A lot of people, you won't even know if they have Parkinson's or not. They don't always come forward with their diagnosis right away. It looks very different in every person, the way that their symptoms show up, and the way that they're managing with different treatments that are available. So a lot of hope with the disease. People can live with it for many, many years, but there is still a lot we can do to help people live better lives. It absolutely does have an impact. People will sometimes say they've lived with it for years before their diagnosis came along. And then the progression, it looks different in everybody too. So while some people might progress slowly over a long period of time, other people will progress more quickly and need a little bit more care.
Yeah. Is there anything that is, you know, there are one or two things that maybe people aren't generally aware of when somebody has Parkinson's disease?
Yeah, so a lot of people, I think, just think of tremors as being one of the top signs of Parkinson's disease, and it absolutely is. There are those motor symptoms, the freezing of the gait, trouble walking or moving, absolutely the things that people are more familiar with, but there's a whole slew. It's kind of like that iceberg. So what you see are those tremors, but underneath the water are all those non-motor symptoms that people are dealing with as well. So a soft or low voice, there's some impacts to people's voices, constipation, dizziness and fainting, trouble sleeping, small handwriting, a loss of smell is another thing that people with Parkinson's will deal with. Depression and anxiety are huge symptoms as well, directly linked to the part of the brain that's controlling that dopamine. So not just the anxiety over having the disease, but it's an actual factor of the disease itself.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but is it something that the individual often that they start seeing in themselves, or is it the people around them that see this first?
I think you see a mixture of it. A lot of people that I speak with, it will be their care partner, their spouse, who says, I noticed it one day. I noticed them dragging their left foot, you know, or something unusual. They stop swinging their arm on one side, or people who play certain sports, like they'll notice in their golf swing or in their tennis swing, you know, that something changed for them on one side of their body. And the diagnosis is really interesting because it's, we're still kind of working to come up with, you know, maybe a blood test or something that's really definitive. But at this point, there's no standard test to conclusively show that someone has Parkinson's or not. So it can be a process working with clinicians to kind of run through all of the symptoms that may be showing and running different neurological tests to come up with that diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm hearing a little bit as well is to people and their loved ones, watch out for each other a little bit. I mean, like if you see something weird, you know, don't just blow it off because maybe, you know, if you see it trending, it could be something, right?
Absolutely. 90,000 people a year will be diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. We see it mostly in people over age 60, but absolutely as young as, you know, 20s, people are diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's disease. So something to watch out for. One of the great resources that the Parkinson's Foundation provides is our 10 Early Signs brochure. This can be ordered on our website or located on our website, parkinson.org. We can provide copies for free, and we do to many senior living facilities or places where in home care providers where they're working with patients who are in that higher risk category to keep an eye on some of those symptoms. So the small handwriting, you know, things you might not think of as Parkinson's necessarily, but when you start to see a lot of these symptoms building up together, might be an opportunity to go speak to a neurologist.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I knew about Michael J. Fox, and I thought he was young when it, because I think he was 40-something.
I think he was in his late 20s. And
Was it really?
Wow. So very young onset diagnosis for him, which is rare, more rare than someone over age 60.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I mean, that's good to know. I did. I was one of those people who thought it was just an older thing. And I was surprised about Michael J. Fox, and I thought it was in his 40s, not his 20s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know the percentage of people who have young onset.
Yeah. I think the key is, you know, we should watch even people that are at that age, if we see something odd. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Parkinson's Foundation, is this a regional, national, international organization? Where is its footprint?
We're a national organization, although we do have a lot of international partners. And then we're set up in a chapter structure. So as you introduced me, I work with our Southwest and our Rocky Mountain chapter. So our Southwest chapter is Arizona, New Mexico, and Nevada. And so I do a little bit of support there, but I mostly oversee our Rocky Mountain chapter, so Colorado, Wyoming, and Utah. Okay. So really working on the events that we have here locally and the community outreach, which is really to put our resources in the hands of people who need them, people living with Parkinson's, their care partners, and as you said, just the general community to raise that awareness so we can support each other in the community, whether with people with Parkinson's already or to help identify it sooner in someone who might be living with it and not know it yet.
I was going to ask, what types of organizations do you collaborate with? I mean, you mentioned there's some things, and maybe it changes from year to year, but any that you can think of that people can see the connection as you guys work together?
Sure. So we like to say that the Parkinson's Foundation has really three pillars of work that we're doing. So under our CARE initiative is helping to set standards of care for people living with Parkinson's disease. And we do that through designations of certain centers throughout the country and internationally that are working in that area. So the University of Utah and their Movement Disorder Center is one of our centers of excellence. They do a fantastic job of providing a care that we believe is up to our standards for people with Parkinson's disease. In Colorado, we have the University of Colorado is one of our centers of excellence as well. I think we have around 53 centers of excellence in the United States right now, and 8 internationally. And then we also have a designation called Comprehensive Care Partners and Comprehensive Care Centers. And they have a similar reach that a center of excellence would have, but they don't have a research component to them. So we're looking to certify more and more of those every year through our CARE initiative. And then community partners in Parkinson's care. So certifying organizations like senior living facilities or rehabilitation hospitals who are providing care to people with Parkinson's. We want to help train their employees to know how to provide that best care so that we can really live our mission of helping people with Parkinson's live better.
I guess my next question will be the Parkinson's Foundation's mission. What would you say their mission is, and do they focus in more specifically in one area or two? You know, like maybe they have five things that they want to focus on, but these three things are the things that they focus mostly on.
A great question. So our mission is to make lives better for people living with Parkinson's disease. And our vision really is that there's a world where we are reaching every person with Parkinson's disease with all of our resources. So as I mentioned, we have three pillars, that CARE initiative. Another big component of our CARE initiative is our hospital safety guides. So throughout all of our research and working with people with Parkinson's disease, we've learned that unfortunately, when people are hospitalized for any reason, maybe they need a hip replacement. So it doesn't have anything to do with their Parkinson's disease specifically. So they're not seeing a Parkinson's specific doctor, that they're just not receiving the level of care in hospitals that we would expect. And the statistics are really pretty staggering about how much longer people with Parkinson's will spend in a rehab facility and really even mortality rates after a stay in the hospital. So we've put together our hospital safety guide to really help people with Parkinson's and their care partners to advocate for themselves in a hospital setting and to help while they're there to educate those healthcare providers who may not know about Parkinson's. So the guide itself has, it really focuses then on the five care needs that people with Parkinson's have. So people with Parkinson's have a very strict medication routine that they need to stick to, similar to how someone who is diabetic might need their insulin on a regular basis. That's how Parkinson's medications are for someone with Parkinson's. So really making sure that they're getting those medications on time, every time in a hospital setting is something extremely important. Movement is also a really important thing for people with Parkinson's. It's so fascinating because Parkinson's affects people's ability to move as well as they did prior to having the Parkinson's, but it's the actually staying active and staying moving that's going to help them the most with slowing the progression of their disease and potentially even reversing the progression is through exercise and movement. So, so important in a hospital or a care setting that people with Parkinson's are staying active and moving. As I mentioned before, there's issues with speech and swallowing. So in a hospital setting, making sure that they're really keeping an eye on the swallowing. And then really watching for medications that might be contraindicated with their Parkinson's medications. So as it's a dopamine, their Parkinson's medications are giving them that dopamine that they need in their brains. So if there's a medication that's going to stop that dopamine, is not a medication that we would recommend for someone with Parkinson's disease, but it might be the typical medication that's prescribed for someone in that care facility. So so that hospital safety guide is something we provide to everybody with Parkinson's disease for free. They just have to give us a call at our helpline or go online and order it. We'll send one out for free. I think this is a really huge piece of what the foundation has to offer for people with Parkinson's. And that kind of leads into our second pillar of what we do, which is education for people with Parkinson's and care partners and awareness in the community. So in addition to our hospital safety guide, we have a kit for people who are newly diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and then a whole library of topic-specific books for people if they're dealing with sleep issues, if they're curious about surgical options, cognition or psychosis, mood changes. We have a library of books for all of those different topic areas, as well as YouTube videos, expert briefings. We also have a podcast, Substantial Matters in Parkinson's Care. So there are tons of resources that we provide, as well as in-person and virtual education programs. We hold one every year in Salt Lake City. We're hoping to expand those more across the state into some more rural areas. We'll have our first program in Colorado this year. So just trying to grow that presence of getting the education and the information that people need in the community. And then our third pillar of what we do is research. So we collaborate with other organizations. You mentioned Michael J. Fox. He has a fantastic foundation that's really focused on research. So we do some collaboration with them. We also have our own research initiatives, funding researchers in communities who are really working on the basic science to try to figure out just how our brains work. And so what is it that really causes Parkinson's? And we can hopefully learn more about just the core science behind the disease that will lead to more treatments and hopefully eventually a cure. We also have a clinical trial that we're running right now called PD Gene, and it's a genetic study. So it can be done in a clinical setting if there's a facility in someone's area, or we can mail them out the kit where they do the cheek swab, send it back, and then we provide free genetic counseling. And we're really proud to say that we've just reached over 15,000 people through this clinical trial, way over our targeted goal, and we're continuing to grow and expand that initiative. We're really learning a lot to hopefully specialize treatments based on the genetic findings that we have and just get some of those insights. So we've found that about 12 to 15% of people with Parkinson's do have a genetic link. So it's kind of a hereditary cause for them, but the rest is where we still don't know what's really causing Parkinson's disease. It's sort of this mixture of environmental, hereditary factors. So so studies like this are really, really important. And that research side of what we do as an organization is kind of for the future. And in the meantime, we have our care programs and our education programs for today.
You guys do a lot. That's amazing.
Yeah.
that's great to hear, because, you know, I'm sure people find themselves in a situation where a loved one or themselves all of a sudden are diagnosed, and it's like, now what do I do? And it's good to know that an organization like the Parkinson's Foundation has just these different pillars, like you said, all these materials for family and the individual. One of the questions I had is, as we're talking about this, is in some circumstances, it's very important for either the person themselves or the family to really just be very engaged in the healthcare treatment. And so, let's see how I want to ask this. Because of all the resources that are out there, is this a situation where, let's say, a loved one of mine has been diagnosed? If we get with a doctor, do a lot of those services and resources then get and does he or she share that with us? Or is it something that we should be trying to pursue as the loved one to make sure that we kind of supplement whatever the doctor does?
Yeah,
does that
I think
make sense?
I kind of hear what you're saying. So, you know, I'm not a medical professional and I don't want to give any medical advice. I do think that speaking to your doctor should be the first thing that you kind of always go back to. But I will also say that one thing the foundation has is a free helpline. We provide services in English and Spanish, 1-800-4PD-INFO. And it is staffed by Parkinson's experts. They're social workers, nurses. They have so much experience and background and knowledge. So not only can they provide you referrals, but they can also answer questions if you know, some people get a diagnosis and they want to go to the internet and just Google search everything. And you're going to find a lot of misinformation out there. So calling the helpline and saying, hey, I came across this clinical study. Is this for real? Is this something we should do? Or is it a scam? So the helpline is absolutely there for those kind of things. And it can be tough to get in to see a movement disorder specialist, especially for people who live in more rural areas. They might be booking 6-9 months out. Wow. So in the meantime, when you have questions about, you know, I didn't sleep well last night. Was it related to my Parkinson's? Or, you know, what should I do? Is melatonin something I should take or not? Calling the helpline, they can provide that support before you might be able to get into your doctor. And they'll always tell you to talk to your doctor and because they'll know you and they'll know your full medical background and everything that you know, kind of need in the meantime. But I think that the helpline is absolutely a wonderful resource that we have. We take about 20, I think last year we took 23,000 calls. I don't have the number of how many came from Utah, but they're pretty busy. So that's absolutely amazing. Everybody, if they, you know, take one thing away from this podcast today, it is know that we have a helpline and know that they are there for you no matter what the question is. They're there to talk and provide you.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up because to me, you're right. That's probably the one thing that will give somebody a little bit of peace leaving this interview because they will say, you know, there is somebody I can reach out to. Because I know, you know, people get sick and things happen and they get nervous and they want to find out everything right now and you get bad information, right? Mm-hmm. And so knowing that they can reach out to somebody, you know, specifically for this is great.
Another thing that I think is great about the helpline is they can refer people to support groups. So I would say to somebody newly diagnosed, there's so much overwhelming information out there, but just to be connected and know that you're not alone. So attending a Parkinson's support group, there's so many fantastic ones around the Salt Lake City metropolitan area, as well as in some more rural areas around the state and around our Rocky Mountain chapter. So we can help connect you with a support group. There's also support groups specific to care partners who, you know, they kind of need to care for yourself first, right? Fill your cup before you can help fill someone else's. So those support groups are really, really wonderful as well. And then exercise is really the other recommendation that I have no problem, even without that medical background, giving people that advice. So finding an exercise class, and especially one that's specific for people with Parkinson's, kind of doubles as a support group is what I've seen from the ones that I have had the privilege to kind of attend and get to know the people. So you're getting that support, you're there connecting with people who know what you're going through, but you're getting that really, really important exercise as well. And there are so many different types of exercise. There's boxing classes, there are cycling classes, there's dance for people with Parkinson's, yoga, Tai Chi. You know, I think the important thing is to find the type of exercise that you like to do, that you know you'll stick with, and make it a habit. And having that support group of people who are going to call you when you don't show up one week and ask you what's going on is,
where are you?
is extremely important.
that's great. So I know that there's something called the moving day event. Mm-hmm. And I want you to talk about that. Before you do that, though, is that something that the organization does around the country or is it just certain areas?
Yeah, so Moving Day was started in 2011 and has been going on in cities across the U.S. since then. We've raised over $44 million since the start of Moving Day, And this year in Utah is our first event in the Rocky Mountain chapter. So we haven't had a moving day anywhere in the states that I mentioned before. So really excited for kind of our inaugural Rocky Mountain chapter event to take place in Salt Lake City this spring. And I think the idea about of moving day is that it will be specific to the community that we're in. And we work really closely with committees of local volunteers to put these events together so that they have that local touch. But one of the things that I like is that consistently nationwide, it's a celebration of movement. So as I've mentioned a couple times now, it's so, so important for people living with Parkinson's disease to stay active and to stay moving. And so it's not just a walk for Parkinson's, but we'll also have movement demonstrations throughout the day. Everybody will get an opportunity to exercise together in different ways, kind of try out. Maybe boxing isn't something they thought they would like, and they'll try it out for 15 minutes at the event and find out that it actually is something they enjoy. So we'll have a whole day of different resources, exercising together, and then the walk itself.
That is great. Yeah, I noticed, I did see an ad for it somewhere. I can't remember what I was watching, but I thought it was really pretty cool. And I was like, did I not notice this before? But you're saying this is the first time.
Yeah, the event in Salt Lake City will be on Saturday, May 4th. We'll be at Liberty Park, and we're trying to raise $60,000 to go toward local programming and resources. So we're about 70% of the way to our goal already, and about a month to go. So really excited. I think we'll get there if the community can really come behind us and support us. And April is Parkinson's Awareness Month. So I think our podcast today is timely that we're really helping spread that awareness to the community.
That's great. I think probably on the website it has the time. You said it's all day, but is it?
It'll be about 9 a.m. to noon. The walk itself will probably start around 10:45, so toward the end of the event. And people can register in advance at movingdaysaltlakecity.org or by calling me, and I can help register people over the phone. Sometimes the website can cause people issues if they're trying to do it from their phone, if they don't have a computer. So I'm always happy to help people over the phone.
That's great. Yeah, and I will make sure that we post a lot of these links and numbers and stuff underneath the show.
So, yeah, the event is free to register, no cost to participate. It is a fundraiser, so of course we ask for donations, but there's no minimum required to participate, to come out, network, and help empower our community.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things, let's see here, I was curious... And a lot of times when we talk about such a powerful topic like this, it's difficult in the sense that you don't want to share personal experiences or anything like that. And so I'm going to ask this question, but I understand that it's maybe not something that we would talk about. But I'm just curious if you have had the chance to run into anybody or you knew of a story that the foundation was really able to kind of feel the warmth of the success that they provided to somebody in helping them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some recordings from our helpline calls, and they always sort of bring tears to your eyes. Yeah. People who call and just are thrilled to actually get a real life person on the other line. Especially people who are newly diagnosed and just don't even know where to start with the questions to ask. Yeah. The helpline has had some really, really empowering moments with what they can help people with in that regard. The foundation has a lot of opportunities for people to get engaged. So not just people with Parkinson's and their care partners, but really the whole community. So we, I'll just use our Moving Day committee in Salt Lake City as an example. We have representatives from the University of Utah and Intermountain Health. We've got physical therapists and speech therapists who are all part of helping plan this event because they really believe in it. But then we also do have people living with Parkinson's and their care partners. Support group leaders are honorees for the event this year. His name's Dale George, and he started a support group in Davis County after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and started with, you know, one or two of him and his friends, and it has over 200 people on their mailing list now. So I think just the community itself bringing so many people together, and then the foundation, we have these monthly planning meetings, which are absolutely, we're talking about event logistics and we're ordering t-shirts and we're fundraising. But it's a great opportunity for people to connect and And especially when you get this disease and you don't know, you know, what really, what can you do? People want to give back and they want to help others and they want to raise awareness. They want to raise the funds to advance the treatments, to advance to a cure. So I think just that engagement, when people volunteer with the organization, they're not only connecting with each other and connecting with us, but they're making a difference in the community. So I don't know if that answers your question about how we're making a difference for others, but I think when they help make a difference in our community, it is impacting themselves. I mentioned a lot of people with Parkinson's will struggle with depression. So connecting with our groups is a great way to overcome some of that, in addition to what they need medically and clinically.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. I was wondering, as I get through some of my questions here, was there anything that you wished I would have asked? Or is there something that you want to share with the audience that maybe I just didn't get to? Anything like that?
I think we covered a lot of my key
Yeah, we did go point. Through a lot of good information.
Yeah. No, I think anything else that you have, I'm happy to try to speak to.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, yes, I think the important thing is that people out there can understand that there's an organization out there that's helpful, and your website probably can help lead people and point them to some different things as well. And I just think that's really important, because it can be pretty scary, I think, in my opinion, to have a loved one or yourself that get diagnosed like this, because you just don't know what that really means, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, finding that community is great. And finding what works for you. I think when we first spoke about this podcast and this concept of, you know, strangeness and how Parkinson's can be strange, and it really kind of is. And I think I'll just share another sort of some personal examples from people I've met, but people will have difficulties walking, right? Even getting out of bed. They notice freezing up, this dyskinesia or this dystonia, different movement symptoms, and then they'll hop on a bicycle and it all goes away. And they can pedal like they never have Parkinson's. Other people have noticed that walking backward might completely take away everything. So there are these people sort of figure out what might work for them. And then, of course, that can change too, because Parkinson's is strange and it does really strange things to our brains and how that affects our movement and our bodies. But I don't know. I just kind of wanted to share
that is.
I've seen, and I don't know too much about it, but there scientists are working on developing a glove that someone can wear. And the idea of the glove is that it will help with tremors, but then they start to see it, that it'll help with their voices and help with speech. So it's so interesting that the glove that helps with tremors is also having these effects in other ways. So people with Parkinson's will sometimes have sort of a masked look to their face. Like they lose, I don't know, it's not that ability to smile, because they can still smile, but you'll see it in the way that their face is. And I think that they've noticed with this glove that it can have effects on these things as well. So it's just strange how the different symptoms affect different people, but so are the treatments, and that's really what we're working on to advance.
Yeah. It's interesting, because I can imagine there are people trying to find little specific things that help them through something, like the walking backwards and stuff like that. And I think that's really neat. But that's encouraging too, for people to go, hey, there's little things you can come up with that kind of helps you reset in that moment. I didn't know that about
Parkinson's. And a lot of interesting research out there about the, you know, the gut connection. If people change their dietary, you know, a lot of lifestyle changes that can impact how they're disease is progressing.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, I know you mentioned it a little bit, but how can people contribute, participate, and get involved? You've said some things, but maybe give us a summary.
Yeah, happy to recap. So if you happen to be in the Salt Lake City area and are available on Saturday, May 4th, coming out and joining us for the walk is the number one way that I would say right now for someone to get involved, because not only will you be there in person, to contribute to our energy and feel the energy of the community. But it is a fundraiser. So right through that Moving Day website, whether you can come and walk with us or not, movingdaysaltlakecity.org is currently open and accepting donations. We're also accepting donations year round through our website, parkinson.org. For financial contributions is a great way that people can give. We're always looking for volunteers. So at events like Moving Day, but throughout the year to help us raise awareness in the community. So reaching out to senior living facilities where they might work with people with Parkinson's disease and helping train their healthcare providers, telling them about the resources that we have, making sure they know about the helpline, that they know about our continuing education courses, raising awareness by speaking at support groups and making sure they have access to our resources and newly diagnosed kits. So that's some other opportunities for people to get engaged as volunteers. And then if you're interested in fundraising but can't attend the walk on May 4th, we have a sort of DIY fundraising model. So if you're into knitting and you want to have a knit-a-thon and get some friends over and knit some blankets and raise money for Parkinson's, we have ways to support you to do that. That's if you're neat. Into ping pong, we've had ping pong tournaments for Parkinson's, which ping pong is also a great way for people with Parkinson's because it's not only a physical activity, but there's that great brain movement connection that just seems to really help sort of stop the progression of Parkinson's disease. So ping pong, pickleball, activities like that. I think that's where boxing really fits in as well. It's just another great activity for people living with Parkinson's. So any kind of fundraiser you can think of, we will support you in holding that in your community. They raise awareness, they raise funds, and we're happy to support anybody who wants to share their passion with us.
That's great. No, I think you just said a bunch of things that I'm thinking, yeah, that's stuff people could do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun and not terribly difficult to set up something like that. Mm-hmm. So the best way for them to connect is just to go to the website and just look at the contact names there and stuff?
Yeah, you can go to our main website, parkinson.org, or if you find our Rocky Mountain chapter, you can search through by zip code to find who might be your local staff person. Or if anyone in the Rocky Mountain chapter, or really anywhere in the U.S., is always welcome to reach out to me, and I can help connect them as well. So especially if you want to do an event in Utah, Kay Currington at parkinson.org. You can call me 720-850-8299.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wrapping up here, but I wanted to ask you, is there anything else? So we have the Moving Day. Is there anything else people should be keeping their eyes open for?
So I mentioned our educational programming. So in November this year, we'll be back probably at the University Marriott for an educational program for people with Parkinson's and their care partners. We usually have a movement disorder specialist come and speak on a specific topic. We'll have a movement break of some sort to get people up and moving. And then depending what the theme of the program will be, which we don't have finalized for the November program of this year, but we'll have another specialist from some sort of medical background come in and speak to that. So last year it was a speech therapist, and she talked a little bit more about speech and swallowing issues, and that she was fantastic. So keep an eye out for that program. We'll probably have those smaller fundraising events throughout the year. Support group meetings, our Moving Day committee meetings, you know, always for people to get engaged. And then we have a lot of ways for people to be more involved on a national level as well if they're interested in being a research advocate. Or there's, you know, a lot of positions for national engagement in different areas that people can learn about on our website.
That's awesome. Well, I'm glad we met today. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience just in general? Or
I think that's a lot of information. And again, I just want people to remember the helpline. So 1-800-4-PD-INFO is the best place when you can't figure out how to register for Moving Day, or you forget what my name or phone number was, or, you know, anything at all about Parkinson's or the foundation, give them a call.
Awesome.
That's the one thing.
Well, thank you very much. And as we wrap up here today, I just want to say to everybody, check out the website. And don't forget about Moving Day coming up. And this month is what month?
Yeah, it's Parkinson's Awareness Month right now. So our theme this year, and if you follow us on social media, you will see an update every single day this month. The theme is the ABCs of PD. So each day throughout the month, you'll get a different letter of the alphabet and how it relates to Parkinson's disease. So we've already started. We're a couple days in. So A for anxiety, and you, it's a great toolkit for just the general community to learn those 26 new facts about Parkinson's disease, or people living with Parkinson's, and then they can link out to the different resources related to that letter. So that's sort of our campaign this month, this year, 2024 Parkinson's Awareness Month, is really through our ABCs of PD campaign. And so check that out, I think, if you know,
yes,
if you're interested in getting involved in helping spread that awareness campaign. And
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, awesome, Kristen. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I'm excited for the new event here and just hearing how that goes. I'm going to see if I can try to make it out there too.
Yeah, it'd be great to meet you in person.
Yeah. Well, as we wrap up today, I do want to just end by saying to everybody, remember, even though what we talked about today, there's some strangeness and it's definitely unexpected, you can be prepared or know where to go for the things that you need to know to help others or for yourself. So, once again, remember, there's a lot of strange and unexpected out there. Just keep your eyes, ears, and minds open. And until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to High Strangeness. This was a glance at some of the strange that exists in our reality.